Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
Share with you, you know, we're in the earth and have a relationship with God. And most people, I think, have learned the most about who the Heavenly Father is. We know that He is love. We know that He has a fatherly relationship with us, a nurturing relationship with us, one that will provide for us. He's so many things to us. We perhaps know best, even better than the nature of the Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, because we come into the family, because He's chosen us, and He created our adoption, our ability to come in. But when we're learning of Jesus and we're learning of the Heavenly Father, we really are learning all of this through the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. In today's spiritual climate in the earth, I think there's maybe the least taught on the Holy Spirit in my lifetime. And I've become disquieted with that and concerned about that because the Holy Spirit is God with us here and now. He's really who wants to speak into our life and help us. He's the helper. He's the comforter. He's the teacher. He's the one that we call alongside in any place in our life. He doesn't wait for us to have everything right to be called alongside. He wants us to call Him alongside, even and especially when we know something's not right, so He can help make us right. God with us in the right here and right now. Now, I'm glad I have a Heavenly Father. And as much as I know Him, I love Him. I think it's a remarkable and amazing thing that Jesus gave Himself for all of us, especially little old me. I think it's a marvelous and amazing thing, and there's not a day that doesn't go by that I don't think of my Heavenly Father and how I hope and pray that I become more like Him the older I get. I also look to the Lord Jesus and think, how remarkable beyond my understanding that He would choose to redeem us from destruction. That He would do it in a way that wouldn't only get us to heaven, but that would restore us to a fellowship of joy, of thanksgiving, of predictability in this life when there's no other way you can predict blessing in the future except to have a relationship with God. People strive for it. They want to shore up their blessing for the future. They want to earn enough and make enough diverse investments to be set up where they're secure and safe, but there's not even security in that. Our security comes from the person of God in the earth with us now. He is the very intelligence of God. The way He imparts intelligence is unusual in the Scripture. He wants us to have fun while He's improving our spiritual intellect. What's a spiritual intellect? You're knowing on the inside what you're supposed to do in any situation. You're knowing to look beyond the circumstances that you see and the logic you see in it, and know when there's 10 choices, which one is God's best? And discerning and learning how to walk that way. He is the person yearning to make that possible in our lives. He's active and He's with us now. We don't have to wait for those answers to come from heaven. Heaven's agent is here living in us. When we think of Jesus living in our heart, really it's His Holy Spirit living in us. So much so that the New Testament teaches the kingdom of God is in us now, whether we know it or not. The kingdom of God is God's government, His way of doing everything. When Jesus said, pray that God's will be done in earth as it is in heaven, that means God's kingdom is in you, and pray that you can discern what God is telling you from heaven because He's living in you. His agent is in you. Now, His agent has to do things heaven's way And that's where we get in trouble as people. We want God to change his way to be our way. He wants us to do it his way. Think of it this way. Everything you learn about the Holy Spirit here is training you for heaven. So when you get there, you won't be in kindergarten. And I pray that. I literally pray that every week for our church folks. Lord, let everybody be beyond kindergarten when they get to heaven. So nobody's disappointed. You know, why? I just have in my heart, because we're teaching church, that you get there and you feel like, wow, I really fit in here. I mean, it might seem kind of like there's some things to learn, because that's where we learn the fullness of the Godhead. But we ought to get there and not feel like the first day in kindergarten. But I remember the difference from kindergarten to first grade. From kindergarten to first grade, I was not afraid of anything at school. I knew there was going to be big kids. I knew that they might look and act a little tough and mean, but I knew if I hollered out to the teacher, the big kids would be squashed and the teacher would come running for the little kid. I knew there was a system and there was a setup where I could thrive there. I knew that it had to do with learning. It had to do with learning how to be productive in the earth. And heaven's going to be like that. But the Holy Spirit wants us to receive the bulk of our orientation while we're here. That's one of the reasons God doesn't change his ways to line up with our ways. They're too low for him. He always wants to pull us up. He wants to pull us up to his ways, and he knows that it's possible. Think of church as the one-room schoolhouse where you can learn as much as you want to, because we're going to present truth of God at heaven's level. And you just reach up in there and you take what you're ready to get. A second grader might not be ready for algebra, but there might be a sixth grader or two that gets the concepts and reaches in there. And why, they might be set up to know higher math better than some of the other kids. And the same token, there might be a seventh grader that's beginning creative writing, but they write something the teacher's so impressed with that the teacher begins to tutor them, to leap them ahead. That's your relationship with the Holy Spirit. God has anointed you. The Holy Spirit has chosen you to excel in some things. He knows what they are. Some of them are of a spiritual nature in your relationship with the Lord and your relationship to his church. Some of them are of a natural nature to get you ahead in this life, to give you the sense of security that what God is doing through you, even your provision in this life, has a connection to heaven. There's a great freedom and liberty and joy that comes when we know our day-to-day living has a connection to heaven, and man isn't in control. The government is in control. The company you're working with isn't in control, but Jesus is in control. There's something that happens when we know that we have yielded to the creative side of God in our hearts, and we are fulfilling something that requires heaven's hand in it. That's where our confidence comes from. When we don't have heaven's hand in our life, it's because we haven't given the Holy Spirit room. We haven't learned to really fellowship with him one-on-one. You can sit in the one-room schoolhouse, and you can learn by what the teacher's saying, or you can interact with the teacher. I've learned the Holy Spirit loves interaction. The Holy Spirit will go from being the school teacher in the front of the church to the school teacher living in you. The school teacher tutoring you, and you can ask as many questions as you want to. Here's a wonderful thing I've learned about the Holy Spirit. He's never made me feel silly for something I've asked. In fact, he does the opposite. He's excited that I'm asking a question and I get affirmed because I asked something. He likes to affirm you by saying, "You're on the right track. Keep asking me things like this. Let me show you." And then he brings things to your remembrance that you forgot you knew. Now, I never had a natural teacher do too much of that, except maybe when you're getting ready for a test, they'll say, "It has to do with, it's in chapter 3, it's on page 34, don't you remember such and such?" And, "Oh yeah, I remember." The Holy Spirit has to have something to work with. What you should receive in church, no matter when you come, is you have more to work with. He recognizes the heaven part of you, not the earth part of you. He recognizes what you are doing to fit into the citizenship of the kingdom of God, of heaven. He recognizes what you're doing in yielding to the government of God as a person, whether you're obeying the word and listening to what he's telling you so far. The Holy Spirit takes us to higher places, but he has levels of conduct, levels of faith that he expects from us. Faith and conduct go together. And when we obey him at one level with the things that we've learned, he lets us reach to the higher level. And we almost feel like we're being promoted because we are being promoted. The Holy Spirit doesn't hold anybody back. We're responsible when we're held back. He's yearning for all of us to come into heaven in full gear, fully knowing everything that there is that we need to know coming in. That we almost get so excited to get there that we can't wait. We want to go early, but he says, no, you got to finish your assignment first. That's who he is. He's your promoter. As you hear me talk about the Holy Spirit this morning, more than anything, I want you to desire to know him more. I want you to recognize that he will change how you define your relationship with God. He will move you away from a sense of obligation to a greater sense of joy. He will cause you to have enough relationship with him that when you come to the challenges of life, you know who to ask for the answer, and you recognize the answer when it comes. Well, that's who the Holy Spirit is. We want to know him because he's our intelligence for the here and now. Do you know he has a kind of intelligence to let you see ahead? John 16 says he's interested in letting us know things to come. Well, I've learned that when we know things to come as a nation, it prevents war from breaking out. When we know things to come as a nation, as Christians, it teaches us how to pray. A few years ago, when they were forecasting certain things to come, people got stirred up to pray a little bit more. Now, we should have known more than we did from the Holy Spirit. This is another time we should know more from the Holy Spirit. Why? Jesus wants to show us things to come concerning his church and what he wants to do. How he wants to bless his people. How he wants his church to become so spirit-filled that we become the joy center for what's going on in the earth. That we become the hope center for people who are hurting. That we don't just become a learning center. We're already that. You can come to church for book learning. You can come to church for the word. But I'm going to tell you, his word and his spirit are meant to work together. Or you'll find yourself sitting in the class not hearing what the teacher's saying because you begin to drift and think about other things. If that happens to you in church, you need another dose of the Holy Spirit. Why? He brings not just information. He brings an imbibement with the information that makes us happy, that makes us hope-filled, that causes us to be excited in a way that doesn't make sense, that causes us to know everything is going to be all right and then some, instead of, gee, I don't know. He changes the way we think and feel about everything, and he is concerned about how we feel. God wants your feelings in the natural to be overrun with heaven's feelings about you. Heaven expects you to do God's best life. Heaven is rooting for you to do it, so much so that their hope is centered on you fulfilling God's best plan for you, not just for heaven's sake or Jesus' sake, but for your own sake. God's people should be the most joy-filled, the most faith-filled, the most anticipating things are going to work out right of anybody in the earth. We don't just get that by studying the scripture. We get that through the person of the Holy Spirit when we choose to drink in from him. Scripture defines our relationship with him, the primary, as being we drink into that spirit. You can come to church here and never be a part of the Holy Spirit because you don't drink. Say, Pastor, what are you talking about? The Holy Spirit has an imbibement for you when the world is getting to you. The Holy Spirit has an imbibement for you that will allow you to look at the scripture and say, that's true about me. Where your natural mind would say, I don't think I qualify for that. I don't think I'm good enough. The Holy Spirit, I've got to get this ear thing right. It just feels funky. There, that feels better, sorry. The Holy Spirit wants you to become more faith-filled, and he will appeal to your feelings to help your faith when your feelings are coming from the Holy Spirit being imparted to you. Why? He wants to live in you bigger. And his thoughts become your thoughts. Scripture says his thoughts, God's thoughts and ways are higher than our ways. It doesn't say we're not supposed to learn of them. I've learned that he'll impart hope in my life before he'll show me the answer. I'll just feel better. I will know I just prayed in a way, help is on the way. I will know somehow God's got this. And then eventually hope turns into, there I receive it and I see it. Thank you, Lord. But he will appeal to feelings first. Why? The Holy Spirit will say things like, settle down. I've got you. I like hearing stuff like that. Why? I get stirred up sometimes. Now, 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10 tells us that the Holy Spirit's going to lead us into God's plan to our best advantage. He only wants your greatest success, and that's the only way you're going to find your greatest success is the Holy Spirit, because it knows what heaven knows about you. It knows how God will get through to you for your best life. Some think that it's more on them than it's on God. Heaven has the design, the blueprint. And wherever you choose to start, however old you are, whatever you've done right, whatever you've done wrong, however far away you might be from God's plan, he has a way for, think of it this way. If you type into your phone, you're lost somewhere, and you finally type in the address of your destination and the address where you are now, beep, 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 pretty soon you've got directions to go there. That's how the Holy Spirit works. And I'm not saying we won't, from time to time, make a wrong turn. But I don't know if you've ever been on a wrong turn and you go far enough down the road of the wrong turn that you say something ain't right about this. I mean, that's kind of the Midwestern gut feel of getting somewhere around here. We look at landmarks, we look at the skyline, and we know there's the sun, that must be east, or the sun's going down, that must be west. And we get an orientation. The Holy Spirit will work with you that way based on what you do know. And based on what you do know, you can very quickly find out if you're not going in a right direction. You think something is not right about this. You know, now you can be like a man and keep driving. Or you can be like your wife and say, let's stop the car, figure out where we are, type it in and know which way to turn before we get any further down this crazy road. And guys usually grunt, look around, say, well, let's go one more mile and see if we recognize anything. And the gals are usually like, why are we wasting? Let's let me stop the car. The Holy Spirit works with us just like that. And we can decide whether we want to keep going in our own steam when something seems to be wrong, or just stop. Say, let's redirect things here. Now, when he redirects you, you might not have the most convenient path in front of you because you got off far enough. We lived up in the mountains, and if you missed your turn and you trust your phone, it might say the shortest route is this road, and this road, but the shortest route might take you an hour where the longer route took you 20 minutes. So you got to look for the alternative. What is the fastest way to get there? Holy Spirit, and you might have to backtrack. See, this is the practicality of the Holy Spirit in our life. When you think of the Heavenly Father's love, his love isn't doing this for you. His love does this through the person of the Holy Spirit. He can't do it any other way. Jesus the Savior saved you from trouble, but he delivers your deliverance through the person of the Holy Spirit. When you get lost, when you get in trouble, when you've taken a wrong turn. And he has to be consulted as our teacher to give us the map out. Why? He might have to make a road for you where there's no road. If you got off enough, I mean, there have been moments in my life where I looked around and thought there is no way out. You know what he'll do? He will cut a trail for you. See, we have to understand what God's word does as a flaming sword. When you don't know what else to do, you speak out the word that you know, and the sword goes shh and cuts you a path through the woods that you never knew existed. And you go, this has to be the delivering power of God. And when you've done that once, you're good for a while. And you probably make another wrong turn and say, how could I do this again? How could I be so stupid? You are a person in the earth. Bless your heart. Now, Eye hath not seen, neither ear heard. In other words, we don't get this on our own. Neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for him. Things prepared. He's got some things ready for us. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Holy Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. In other words, whether you're on track, off track, or whatever part of the track you're on, when you consult him, he will reconcile your path. Understand this. He's always out to do the best. You don't have to think, oh, I've got a reason in my mind. No, we learn to trust God that however deep we think we might be in it, he knows the best way out. And he also anoints us to move ahead. That means he greases you up to slide down that path without much resistance. Why? He doesn't just show us the path. Think of it this way. Makes us slippery against any resistance where we start moving in that direction and it's like the gerbil in the tube. He's got to come out the other end. Some of you don't understand that, but okay. Holy Spirit is the intelligence of God to help us here and now. Now, he is not hard. It's not hard to get his intelligence. I'm so glad he's the kind of helper. He gives us every advantage that he can. He's not like holding him back saying, oh, you gotta do this and these three things before I'm gonna work with you at that level. It's like you ask, you get it. You ask in faith in Jesus' name, you get the help. I believe God has a more supernatural destiny for every person in the building. I believe that it won't be disclosed through pastor or another believer. I believe it'll be disclosed directly to you by the Holy Spirit because he wants a one-on-one with you because he loves doing his job. Amen. He loves being God with you. He wants that with each person. He doesn't want to be God through another person to you. There's plenty of ways people are doing that out there. Let me tell you what God's saying. I've learned it's better. Hear it on the direct line. Hear it for yourself. Why? You can ask questions then. Wait a minute, Holy Spirit. I did not understand that part. You know what he'll do? He won't say, too bad. You weren't listening in class. He will go back and he will help you. Sometimes he helps us by looking at the scripture. Sometimes he helps us through another believer. Sometimes he helps us because we'll be praying and we just have kind of a knowing on the inside. I believe I ought to do this. Sometimes when people say, Pastor, I want you to give me direction, or they'll call, I'm praying about this in my life. Is the Lord giving you any wisdom? I'll ask a question, because that's what the Holy Spirit would do. He said, well, what do you believe the Lord's showing you? If he hadn't shown him anything, I'm not about to say what I think. Well, it's not my job to say what I think. Now, if the Holy Spirit speaks to me a word and tells me to impart it, I would. But you know what? That's not his first option. He don't want to do that. He'd rather speak to the individual believer. Why? He values the dialogue. He knows that if we learn to hear him, there's nothing he can't do to move us into his perfect will. Now, the Holy Spirit puts God's intelligence into his body, and you know, you get bits and pieces for you. The plan of God for your life fits in the plan of God for his church. That's why I say people who are outside of church can't fulfill the plan of God for their life because they have to be in church to do it. That's scriptural. Amen. We have to be in the body of Christ. And people say, well, I'm out here on my own and I don't have a church, but I'm in the body of Christ. Not really. That's wishful thinking and it's in their mind getting in the way. Scripture teaches that's not the case at all. We have to purpose to be in the body of Christ. And he tells us that that has to do with the Holy Spirit working in us. Working in us individually to find out, God, what am I supposed to do with my life? You say, well, I'm 67. I'm 87. I'm 57. I still ask him that all the time. Why? I want to make sure that I don't miss a turn every opportunity I get. I like the most direct route. Why? I have a sense of time running out at 57. It won't run out for a long time, I believe, but I want to be able to look at the road that I've been on and say, Lord, that's an interesting journey. I believe the older I got, the more your intelligence was operating in me. Looks like I made better decisions. Looks like this ended the way you intended, even though it sure didn't look like it for a while. That's the assurance that he gives us. Now, this is 1 Corinthians 12. And I've condensed this a little bit just to get it in all at the same time. But he tells us how this relationship really works and what's meant to happen. God's not into your life just for you. He's more into your life for you to fit into the body of Christ. When people don't find their fit in the local church, it's because they haven't found their fit in the Lord Jesus yet. That's why. We will automatically fit into the local church if we have found our place in the Lord Jesus or what the Holy Spirit has. We are on a path. I'm not saying we have arrived or we get to a place and we know I'm to be a teacher in the body of Christ. Well, that might be one stop on your path, but he doesn't only make us one thing. Scripture even teaches he gives us several gifts. So there's a multifaceted thing what God wants to do in you that is going to fulfill his plan for you personally. But more than what it does for you personally, it's going to do something for his church. And beyond for our church, he wants to do something for the bigger picture church. Our church is called to do some things for the bigger picture church. I know that's part of the calling on my life is to do more than just what God wants to do here. I love this place passionately and the people in it diligently and deeply, but God has beyond here to do. So we reach beyond here where we can. Now, this is 1 Corinthians 12, for as the body of Christ is one, or our natural body is one, or this is me, I have one body, and has many members or many body parts, and all the members of that one body being many are in one body, so also is Christ. That's how Jesus is in the earth, through his body. You can think you're a part of that. For you as a part of the body to be fulfilling to God's anointing in your life, you have to know what part you are. You have to know, personally, he wants you to know what he put you here for. Not just how do I have a blessed life. You want to really not even look there first. You want to look at God, what'd you put me here for? And when you're on that path, it'll lead toward blessed life. It'll lead toward things working out in a way that you go, wow, this is working out better. Well, that's not to say the enemy won't come against you and challenge your faith. He will. And you'll have to resist him. Why? You get on a roll and all of a sudden there's a hiccup. Why? The devil says, oh, Tim's on a roll. I better try to mess with him. And Tim says, get out of my path. Get out of my way. I'm on the path of God. And Tim might be thinking in his mind, I wonder if I'm exactly on the path. You don't let that up. You don't show your hand to the devil. Right. When you're dealing with some doubt and unbelief, you just say, uh-uh, I'm confident of this very thing. Greater is he that is in me. Yeah. And we smile. What is it? That's a face poker face, I call it. You don't let the enemy know you need to draw another card. You don't let him know what you're holding. Why? You have faith of what's on the insides more than what you're looking at. That's real important. Now, for by one Spirit, no, I got to go back there to the one body. He said body of Christ. You know what that means? It means the body of anointing. It means this church doesn't depend on what anointing is on pastor. It depends on what anointing is on the body. Now, I believe I'm obeying the Lord in what he's called me to do. But our church fulfills God's anointed plan when everybody taps into something like that and says, I'm anointed to do something. I'm anointed to be a part. I have a function. I'm a body part. You don't know how important your liver is unless it quits working. You might not ever know what it looks like. Why? It's kind of hidden. By what we're supposed to be looking at, the comely parts, the Bible says, the part that's pleasant to look at. Look at your spouse, say comely part. Why? There's an outside we look at, but you look at that liver, it doesn't look pretty unless it's not working and you need it to work, and all of a sudden then you think, oh, pretty liver. Why? It's pretty important. The comely parts aren't going to look good for long if the liver quits working. Your heart. Important to you, but unless it starts beating funky, we take it for granted that it's in there. We'll run, we'll work, we'll play, we'll run hard, play hard, do everything. You make that heart pump. But if it starts to feel funky, oh my goodness, I better get this checked out. What's going on in there? I sure want it to be right. We've never looked at what our heart looks like before because it's just doing what it's supposed to do. But if it starts to flutter a little bit, oh, we better get this checked out now. Recognize That's your relationship to the body of Christ. There will be times you'll feel taken for granted. You might not be treated as being important or feel important yourself. But if you're anointed and the Holy Spirit's working through you and you were taken away from the body, the body's in trouble. If you're not given to the Holy Spirit and you're not given to the anointing and you're outside the body, it won't affect the body at all because you were never in the body in the first place. You can think about that. It's our choice. It's our choice to be in or be out, and we make the choice by choosing to function in the body, choosing to be a part, choosing to do something that requires God to help us. That's what the anointing is, the supernatural intelligence and help of God to do something. We need that help. What it does when we become a part of his body is it helps us fulfill our individual destiny. Rather than you bring to the church what you have to offer because of God's blessing on your life personally, you're meant to bless his church so he can direct your life personally so that you have more than enough. Amen. That's what the lordship of Jesus looks like, really, as we give our life back to him and say, Lord, now this belongs to you. I want your perfect will because I know it's better than my perfect will. I know I've got to make some adjustments in my life to the GPS to navigate to where you want me to go. But I want to do that. And that's how we put him first. Wow, we're not getting very far. This will be more than one Sunday. I kind of knew that coming in. This is real important. For by one Spirit, there's one Holy Spirit, one Spirit of God in the earth, we are all baptized into one body. Now you have to choose that just like you choose to be baptized in water. I want to be immersed in the Holy Spirit of God. We talk about drinking of him. Well, you can just climb down in the bottle of him. What you can do now. And we have been all made to drink. You were created, you were prepared to drink into one Spirit. Doesn't mean he's going to make you do it. It means you were prepared for this drinking. You can hold this kind of liquor. You want what he has to offer in it. Say, really? Yeah, this is a direct comparison to what he's going to say a little later. Don't be filled with wine, drunk with wine. Be filled with Spirit. Now, some people say, oh, that means you can't drink. It doesn't mean you can't drink wine. It means choose this kind of drunkenness. Don't look for a substitute. Why? Without this part of our relationship with God, with the Holy Spirit, we will seek other thrills, other imbibement. Say, what, Pastor? Yeah, your body, your soul craves a little bit of that. God made you to want a little something extra. And if we don't get it from the Holy Spirit, we will battle the other sources that want to be the substitute. That's where addictions come from. There are spirits behind the substance that want to be a substitute for God. And the Holy Spirit is the real deal with no negative side effects, no morning hangover, no danger of death from overdose. You cannot overdo it in him. You will always benefit. Why? With the imbibement, he does something that none of the things of this world can do. He imparts supernatural intelligence. Where are you going to get that? What drink, what drug, what party, where are you going to get? The side effect is supernatural intelligence. That ain't happening. You're going to have some other side effects that you think this maybe was not worth it. But in a few days, or in the world, mostly in a week cycle, the next Friday, everybody's anticipating the next party that will lead to the next hangover, that will lead to the next regret, because there is a craving on the inside that is of a spiritual nature that they're trying to fill with the things of this world that have spirits driving them. And then there's the Spirit of God saying, I am all of that and more. When you wake up tomorrow, you will have more wisdom and insight from heaven instead of having a problematic hangover. Oh. And here's the best thing. It's not illegal. It's not taxed. It's not regulated. Freely he has given. Freely we choose to receive. See, I can tell already you recognize something. Something been missing in your life. And the craving is going, yeah, yeah. Tell me more about that, Pastor. Why, it only gets better. The Holy Spirit has a way of not having you become used to the imbibement. You always get the thrill. You always get the joy. And it's a joy unspeakable. And here's the good thing. No guilt. It's full of glory. No regret. It's full of purpose. No killing brain cells. It supernaturally empowers by impartation something from heaven that our brain couldn't handle anyway. Well, oh, let's think about that. We have all been made available, made capable, made ready to drink. I'm sad for the ones that never do, because you know what? This is on heaven's menu all the time. We're gonna drink of the goods of heaven all the time. And our thirst there will be different than here. It'll just be more and more fulfilling, more and more fulfilling. For the body is not one person, but many. But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. Some folks teach, well, God sets only ministry gifts in the church and everybody else comes and goes as they please. That's not scriptural. God wants everybody to have a set place and they plant themselves there. Amen. Things happen when we plant and we get involved and we put our roots down that don't happen any other way. Why? It's his will to have the family stick together and not be split apart. That's his will. He knows he can do a better job corralling all of us if we're together. Why? He can work through the kids with a little more sense with the ones that don't have as much sense yet. And I'm not talking about brain power. I'm talking about Holy Ghost living. Now. But now are they many members but one body? God has tempered the body together. You know what that means? He smashed us and pushed us and pulled us every kind of direction, squeezed us to fit together. What do we want to do? Give me my space. And he's saying, no, there's no room for you to have space. Get in my space. Why? We're having to fit in the body of Christ. Think about that. We're to find our place in Christ Jesus, and he has tempered. What does that mean? He's taken away your temper, replacing it with his will. He's taking away your way and putting in his way. He's taking away your tendencies to want to do life by yourself and cause you to recognize, no, you were put here to do life with other people, and God placed you with a group of people. And then you got to learn how to work as a body. Yes. We got to learn how to everything to work together. Imagine if all my body parts had switches and I had to keep them turned on all the time. That's what church has become in much of the world. It's a place where the pastor has to get with the people and inspire them so much that he's flipping all their on switches. I'm not responsible for your on and off switch. That's right. I'm glad of that. I want you to know, though, that you are, and it's a privilege for you to have that. Amen. God didn't make us any different at one level than another. My relationship with the Lord requires me to keep the switches turned on and to keep myself alive in him and to keep myself in fellowship with him. Just sometimes he adds extra responsibility to some of us. Now, he goes on to say he's tempered the body together, having given abundant honor to that part which lacked. In other words, the people that think they're not significant have no idea what they will mean to the body of Christ if they fit in. See, I used to think about and deal with not fitting in groups and feeling a lot of rejection. Am I ever over that? Why? I have learned that the Holy Spirit is tempering me all the time. If he needs me to fit in somewhere, his will is, let me work on you, Doug, so you can deal with this, so you can help this person, so you can go into that situation. And I have had to become more like my Heavenly Father, because quite frankly, I was not. I would have been one of the ones a little bit rebellious, saying, that's great, God, I'm glad you're that way, but you made me this way. And you know what he said? I caused you to be born again to be like me. He always gets rid of your excuses. That's one thing that he's real good at. That there should be no schism or division in the body, no lack of cooperation, no freelance agents, nobody out on the wings doing their own thing. Wow, so it's saying the Holy Spirit's going to drive us into being a part of the body. It's going to temper us together. He's going to make something of us that we couldn't be on our own, because that's his way. And together as the body of Christ, we become the body of his anointing, where he will live and move and have his being in the earth through a group of people. with the full expression of all the blessing of God. And we can get there. And we can get there while we're alive. And we can get there, everybody that wants to. And what do we find? We won't be disappointed when we get there. Why? We're being the part of Jesus' body that's anointed, and we're excited to do it. And he made us, he custom made us to do our part. It's not a struggle except for believing it. Now, that there should be no division in the body, but the members should have the same care one for another. In other words, liver, I'm glad you're working. I'm going to treat you to a pep talk today. You're going to work to the full function that Jesus created you and my body to function. You're not going to lack anything. There's not going to be any tumor or disposition of evil in you in any way. The enemy can't touch you, liver. Thank you. And that's a person in the body of Christ. Lungs, thank you that you're working perfectly. You might have inhaled some stuff you shouldn't have in the past, but now you're working clearly. The Holy Ghost has recreated you. And you are coming forward in new life, and there's no difficulty in these bronchioles. As a body of believers, we have plenty of breath to run the race set before us, and we're not going to be worn out halfway through. Amen. See, that's how we need to think of ourselves as the body. And then somebody might come to mind. You might be praying and say, oh, I believe maybe they're a lung. Really? Well, let them discover that for themselves. Nobody wants to hear they're a lung if they think that there's something beautiful. All right? But you know what? If you're suffering from COPD, a clear lung is a beautiful thing. You know what happens in the body of Christ when the Holy Spirit gets involved? He clears up all of that mess from the past. And it even affects our physical body. So I believe that there's a great wave of healing and revival to come into the earth. It'll come through His church through this kind of realization. See, we receive from the Holy Spirit what God wants for the moment in the earth for His people, so that others look on and go, I want to be like that. I want to be like that. Now we are the body of Christ's anointing. We're who He has to work with. We are better than that, who He chose to work with. We are who He is longing to work with. And members in particular. So together, we are His knowing and acting body of intelligence and power. That means when we come together, answers should come that didn't come while you were at home praying by yourself. That's why He loves a prayer of agreement. He loves for us to come together with other people and bind and loose and pray the word. Why? Answers can come more quickly and more speedily. Why? It's a greater expression of faith what we do together than what we do by ourselves, called corporate anointing. Well, I have to touch this last thing, because today I perceive the joy of the Lord in a kind of anointing for you to partake of and drink of. And I want to pray that over you today. I want you to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit like your pastor has. You couldn't get me for any sum of money to give up what I have with Him. I know that I'm still learning. I know that in scope of what I believe He's called us to do and the things that I see in the future, I feel like a baby. But I know He's faithful. I know that when I've been lost on those roads before and Lucinda says, stop the truck, if I listen and stop the truck quickly, we come up out of there on the best path. We like to travel, and she's the navigator, and I'm the driver. And I start tapping it. Navigator might be doing something else on her phone. I say, oh, we're coming up to such and such. Looks like we might need a road change. I see there's three interstates to pick from. Am I on the road? Just a second. Well, you're supposed to follow. Oh, no, it's telling us go this way because of traffic. You know, I hate sitting in traffic. When I look over on the highway beside, and that's how they build a lot of the interstates, the old highway right there, and they're just buzzing down through there, waving at people on the interstate sitting there. I want to reach out and do something. The Holy Spirit moves us from that. He loves us to experience that frustration to know how much better things can be when we consult Him. And there will be things thrown at you that you can avoid because He knows ahead of time. Instead of saying there's an accident 3 miles ahead, exit here, He will say in an hour there will be an accident at mile marker such and such. This would be a good time to eat your lunch and pull over. Right. Or whatever. Why? You say, really? Yeah, He is that all-knowing. Yes. Well, I want to get into more stories, but we're out of time. Ephesians 5. tells us the more filled we become, the more we will know God's will. This is not a one-time thing. This is a relationship where we keep continually being filled with His intelligence and His anointing. Your body is like a leaky container. It will not hold the intelligent wisdom of God or the anointing very long, because your body will be distracted by how it feels or what your brain thinks. But when you go back to the Holy Ghost and you begin to drink of Him again and you begin to fellowship with Him, He will fill you up. And what you learn after a while is you can plug some of the leaks. You kind of learn how to obey the Lord and He'll help you do better. But you're still going to be a leaky vessel. Why? We're just humans in this earth. So when it's leaking out fast, I think I need to seal some things up here. I've let a crack get in my being somewhere. Somehow the one of these little openings, you know how you, if you have a leak in a boiler or something, it's under pressure. Recognize you're like that. You're like a tank under pressure. You're not really meant to live here in these conditions. You're meant to live in heaven with a body that doesn't have to withstand the pressures of this life. But you get a little hole, a little pinhole, it can shoot out a little stream of water. You can catch it in a bucket and empty the bucket every so many hours. But you leave that unattended for a while, it's going to get bigger. You leave it unattended under enough pressure, it's going to bust wide open the whole tank, and there's not going to be any good come of that but a big mess to clean up. He wants us to catch things and stop them by His Spirit. That's what ministry does. When many people wonder, well, what was that about? Pastor said there's an anointing for this or that. He has a way of reaching down into the innermost part of you and plugging some holes that maybe you've not attended to or you didn't know how. I don't know if you've ever felt like you got so much leaking out. Think of your money. You got so many places it's going that you want to plug some of the holes. So you start calling everybody in the family. You're over on your cell minutes. You've used too much data. You're not buying another $100 pair of jeans this month. You are not, just don't even think about it. We start plugging the holes. The Holy Spirit looks at our whole being that way. Says, let me help you plug some holes. And what we find is we get over into things seem better. And what do? We in the natural, for a while, we sit at the table saying, now, did everybody remember what I said last week? That's still up. The yellow flag is still up. We are not spending extra money. Do not commit to any, don't bring any parties in this house. Don't do blah, blah, blah. And we start saying things like that. The Holy Ghost lets us know when the yellow flag is up and He's working on us. Just to stick close and let Him do some work. Now, see that you walk circumspectly, or walk with the Holy Spirit, not as fools, but as wise. In other words, without Him, we're fools. Redeeming the time. Here's what He promises. He'll get back the time lost. Amen. You know how when you start out, your GPS will say, your arrival time is going to be such and such. You make a few wrong turns, you think, oh dear God, you know, we told them we would be there, and now we can't stop and eat or anything. We'll have to hurry and get gas. Everybody gets 3 minutes at the gas station to take care of your business, and we got to go, because we got to get there. You know, we got to check in. We paid money for this place tonight. We're not forfeiting our reservation, because you never dreamed you needed trip insurance or to cancel. So what do? We get all hyped up. He says that He will redeem the time. Amen. That means we won't just get on the right path. We don't have to miss out on anything God designed us to do. The older I get, the more I love that He redeems the time. Because what He's saying is, there's hope for everybody to fully complete God's will. I like that. That's beyond mercy and grace. That's supernatural love right there. Because the days are evil, He said, we need to redeem the time. Why? The days will work against you. I don't know if you have this sensation at your house, but every Saturday we say, it's another weekend, it's another Sunday. Why, Sunday's high gear for us, Saturday and Sunday both. Why, we're preparing and we're getting ready, and our whole week revolves around what happens on Sunday in this place. So we're saying, here we are, can you believe it? Is it really Saturday? It is. What are we more redeeming the time? What? It's getting away from us now. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Redeeming the time, understanding what the will... When we know the will of the Lord, He redeems the time for us. Amen. That's... And be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I have these words in red. Redeeming the time, understanding what the will of the Lord is by being filled with His Spirit. He does all of that with a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I'm lingering on purpose for a reason this morning rather than just closing like I usually will just cut myself off. Everybody here, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You might need a refreshing in that filling. You might, if something's gotten in the way, I perceive this, or some that have given to other kinds of satisfaction, imbibement, whatever, the Holy Spirit will knock all of that out of the way and change your future. I've experienced that kind of thing again and again and again. I want you to have His best, but be filled with the Spirit. And here's the evidence, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns. You'll be talking to yourself. Happy things. Singing little songs. Happy little songs. Won't be singing country anymore. Boy, that might be a different spirit. Some of it is. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, I like that he threw in there spiritual with the songs, so we're not singing drunk on Friday night songs. He's talking about a different kind of imbibement, you see. He's telling us how we know we're there. There's going to be joy coming up that's related to Him. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always. We just be happy all the time. In the middle of something we ought to be fussing about and griping about, we just say, thank you, Jesus. This is going to all work out. You got this. I'm not going to sweat it. I'm not going to worry about the numbers. It's halfway through the month and we're behind, but I'm not going to worry about it. You've got this, Lord Jesus. Giving thanks always for all things. What? All things. Unto God the Father. Why? We would give thanks in all things that aren't good. He turns them around for the good. And the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, here's one. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. What does that mean? It means you find your place in the church. You find your place in the body of believers. You find your place where God's anointing works through you. You find a place that you're going to stick and plant roots and not be dissuaded. Why? The devil tries to get in the church to divide church by people that don't feel like they fit in. Your feeling like you fit in has everything to do with your relationship with the Holy Spirit, and He will make you fit in. It's His job. It's His job. And I've learned to be satisfied with what He's doing. So all of this to say, and we'll continue next week, because I want you to know the person of the Holy Spirit. He's the person who holds your victory. He's the person who owns supernatural intelligence for you. He's the person who wants to give you the imbibement that you need to get over whatever's wrong or whatever's gone wrong. He wants to give you hope when you're looking at a future. You say, I don't know how I'm going to deal with this or get out of this mess. He will get you tipsy happy so that you know that you can. It's a different kind of tipsy happy.
That's right.
You'll get up out of that place of prayer and say, I know, I just made contact with heaven, and heaven ain't going to let me down. You can stand to your feet. We're going to pray. This morning, if you have need of a touch from the Holy Spirit, the worship team's going to come, and we're going to sing that last song. And before they do, I'm going to dismiss those that want to go and go start eating food out there. You can go start eating food out there. We brought chicken, and it's real good. People brought all kind of food. Well, we want to have that level of fellowship. But if while I was ministering today, you find that there is an emptiness or a yearning inside of you, and you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, or you've not been fellowshipping with Him, you've not been drinking of that Spirit, I want to pray for you. Why, it's a very supernatural thing, the Holy Spirit coming to live in you and flow through you. One of the anointings in my life is to help people learn to know the person of the Holy Spirit, see Him filled with the Holy Spirit. The only thing that ever gets in the way sometimes is a demon. Well, we cast a demon out. I don't believe anybody in church today has a demon, but if you do, it'll leave you, and you'll be gone forever, and you'll be glad if that happens. So, well, that's scary, Pastor. It would be scary. It'd be wonderful. The second thing that you need to know about the Holy Spirit, he doesn't force His way. He waits to be invited. But when He's invited, He begins to change and make everything easier and better for you. I don't want church here just to be a learning place because we're a teaching church. I want it to be a place where you receive the imbibement of the Holy Spirit so the joy of the Lord is your strength. So that you can be happy in the middle of something that doesn't seem happy because you know God's got you. He doesn't just have the situation. I want you to know God with you to help you. So today as I pray, if you want prayer, you just come to the altar. And after we pray, I'm going to dismiss. And when we dismiss, you can go to eat or you can linger and worship with us in this song if you want to. But it won't disrupt what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Why, I don't think that you could chase the anointing out of here with a stick today. Why? You're hungry, and I'll say this, I know this about today. Some reason there's more hunger and thirst as a church. I'm glad of that. I actually asked some this week to pray along those lines, and it's different. Well, we get what we come to eat or drink from Him. That's what we get. And He dishes out according to our hunger and thirst. That's what causes the menu in heaven to be displayed through people in the earth, what He wants to do in His church. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for the working and moving and ministry of Your Holy Spirit as a person to walk through life with, as our advisor, our teacher, our counselor, our comforter, our helper, our friend. Holy Spirit, it's our desire to receive the great intelligence that You have to get us on the right track in every area of life, and we know we can trust You. We know as You come to make us more intelligent with Your intelligence, You come to make us feel better with Your feelings of imbibement and joy and pleasure. The Garden of Pleasures had joy in it because there was fellowship with You every morning. Heavenly Father, help us to come into that kind of relationship where Your joy is our strength and the driver of our life. And we won't get bored. We won't wonder what we're to do next. We'll have a knowing on the inside that we're here to please You and You take pleasure in the prosperity of Your servants. Now, Heavenly Father, thank You that as a church, I speak and declare that we move more fully into Your perfect will every day. As individuals in Your church, the resistance of the enemy is gone. Satan, you're resisted in Jesus' name. That's all we have to do is resist You in Jesus' name. We are thankful that the blood of Jesus is our protection, but the Spirit of the living God is in us to lead and guide us into all truth and show us the things we need to know about life to come. Father, I thank You that this church, every person, every family in this church is blessed supernaturally, abundantly above all that they could ask or think. I thank You that the manifestation of that blessing comes through our relationship with Your Holy Spirit. I thank You for the ability to keep ourselves stirred up and receiving from You. That whenever we feel like there's a little ebb, we're going to get back in the flow. We're going to pull ourselves back up into Your presence and say, I need more of You. I want more of You. I give You all of me. Now fill me up to the overflow again. And when we're in overflow mode, we're in our best place. We're in our best way, happy to be here serving the Lord Jesus. Father, I command sorrow and sighing to flee away. I command exhaustion to be gone in Jesus' name, that it be replaced with hope and an infilling of joy. Father, redirect our lives. We give ourselves to You. Reset our GPS. Adjust us. Make the adjustments. We'll obey You. Reveal Your perfect plan, because the joy of the Lord will be our strength. It's not founded on anything else. In Jesus' name, amen.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of His love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois, 60962. Or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you and give you peace.